May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. As I mentioned last couple of days, I've been kind of hanging out, pondering some things about John the Baptist. Actually, what I've been hanging out in is Luke chapter 7. The Lord said the other day, I want you to spend some time in Luke 7. And a portion of that references John the Baptist. There are a lot more things in that chapter. I'm so grateful for Father Craig and Father Ron who filled in on Wednesday nights. It feels like I haven't done a Wednesday night and forever. And anybody else who might have filled in. There's just this lost space for me last couple of months. But I am going to be here tonight, so I'm really looking forward to it. I really think I'm going to share an extremely important word from Luke chapter 7. And so even if you can't come and if you're watching live stream, I'll put something out on the internet. I've sent an email to everybody and text. If you can't come, I just encourage you to try to watch or whatever. I think it matters. This is, again, Luke chapter 7. Jesus has said all the wonderful things he has said about John the Baptist. It says in verse 28, I'll just stop, close with that little verse. It says, "And I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom is greater than he." And when all the people and the tax gatherers heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. That's really an interesting scripture to me. It says the tax gatherers and the people, they celebrated, acknowledged God's justice, God's mercy, his justice shown in mercy, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the obvious intimation is that because the Pharisees and the lawyers didn't yield themselves, surrender themselves to the baptism of John, it says that they rejected God's purposes for themselves. You have to remember in Scripture, baptism was something you were placed into permanently. It wasn't just a symbol, wasn't just a sign, wasn't just a ceremony. The Scripture talks about us being baptized into Christ. That's a permanent thing. The word baptizo comes from the word dip. And the analogy was basically that you would take a piece of material, cloth like white, you'd dip it into dye, and you would permanently change its appearance. So baptism, by its very nature, is being placed into something permanently. That's permanent. So the baptism of John was a permanent thing, not just a ceremonial act or some religious act. It was them agreeing to be placed into something permanently. Now, what's important to remember is what John's baptism was about. In several places in the Scripture, it says John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it says about John's ministry that his ministry prepared the way for the coming of the Lord. When these people and tax gatherers, here's the thing about tax gatherers, they understood they were sinners because the people were shouting it at them every single day because they were stealing their money and being used by the Romans and taking advantage of the Roman system to get rich. And then the people, normal people, have a tendency to be more open to repentance. But the Pharisees, who know everything, and the lawyers, but they rejected the purposes of God for themselves because they didn't surrender to baptism of John. Hear that now. They rejected God's purpose for themselves because they didn't surrender to living in a mindset of repentance. When those people and those tax gatherers were baptized into John's baptism, they were saying, we've decided, whatever that looks like, we want to live a life of radical surrender to the will of God, a life of permanent repentance. The word forgiveness, as you know, just means to, literally means to put away. We want to live a life of permanent repentance so that sin's always being put away, not from God's perspective, but from our own perspective. I'm not willing to live with sin, though I may be confronted by my sin again and again, but I'm not going to show it any mercy. There's a place in Deuteronomy. It's always blessed me. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, this is in verse 1. And when the Lord your God shall bring you into the land of where you are entering to possess it, and shall clear away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, you shall defeat them and you shall utterly destroy them and you shall make no covenant with them and show them no mercy. I think the baptism of John, the disposition, is still relevant in terms of what he represented. If you want to experience fresh breakthroughs, John's baptism prepared the way for the Lord. It created a highway of holiness, it talks about in Isaiah, for the Lord to travel on. And one of the key dispositions of walking out holiness is not just faith for victory over sin. The same way we got saved is the same way we walk in freedom from sin. It's a gift. Jesus is the gift of victory over sin moment by moment. But it has to be in the context of a heart that says, I really want to let go of that. And I've surrendered to that baptism. It's not just because I'm going through a hard time or I'm scared God's going to get me because I've done something really terrible. Of course he's not. It's that I've decided that I've placed myself into something permanent. I've surrendered into something permanent that says, I'm going after something to experience, to know and manifest that whenever something shows up, I'm not going to stroke it. I'm not going to excuse it. I'm not going to blame other people for it. Because if I do, I've rejected being able to advance and accelerate the purposes of God in my life. We think repentance is like this sort of introspective guilt thing. A lot of us grew up, or some of you grew up, I grew up in a Methodist church, so I don't think repentance was a word. But some of you grew up in churches sort of Bible thumping, trying to make you feel bad and condemned all the time. And we reject words like repentance. Repentance, I hear people say repentance means to change your mind. Literally, the Greek word comes from two words, to perceive afterwards. In other words, once God showed you something, you perceive it from his perspective and you're willing to let go of it. Because sometimes we protect our sin, especially if it involves other people, that our excuses, their behavior and what they did and how they hurt and what they, yada, yada, yada. When you do that, you reject the purposes of God for your life. God can't move you forward as long as we think it's okay to live contrary to the life that Jesus lives. That's one of the real things, like, we talk about being placed into the life of Jesus and the story he lives and the story he wants to tell through us. But what Jesus doesn't do, there are hiccups, big ones, in my experience of his life, in my advancing in the purposes of God, if I coddle a sin and hang on to it. Because that's not the life that Jesus lives. That's the life Chucky lives. As if I were apart from Christ, and I'm not apart from Christ. I'm in Christ, but living as if I were outside of Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? So repentance is not a bad thing. It's not a scary thing. Acts says the gift of repentance. It's the gift from God that gives us opportunity time after time when God shows us something to trade up for the purposes of God, to trade up to experience more of who Christ is. God, she said, well, Bishop, I don't feel bad now because I sin sometimes. Then thank God for the gift of repentance, right? Because I sin sometimes too. If you're a new creation, you don't want to sin. But because we still live in this humanity that's not been fully, law of sin still lives in our members, when we do sin, we have a tendency sometimes to protect it. God says, don't show it any mercy. Because those Girgashites and Perizzites and angryites and controlites and attitudeites and prideites and offendedites, lustites, greedites, feel sorry for yourselfites. What they do, if they're left in the land, they rob you. They take hold of territory that's meant for you to experience. Amen. So I thank God for the baptism of John. It's still real in terms of surrendering to the permanent lifestyle of repentance. so that I can experience all that Jesus is and all that he's deposited in me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together.